Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. It's a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of Acts. Today is episode 275. We're looking at Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. Let's read our passage. Once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, "These men who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation are servants of the Most High God." She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the Spirit, he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out right away. When her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. Well, this is still in Philippi. We're on the second missionary journey. Paul and Silas are traveling together. They've picked up Timothy along the way. They've encountered Luke. And now the four of them are in Philippi. They met Lydia, the seller of purple cloth. She and her people in her household became believers and were all baptized. So now we're continuing the story in Philippi, verse 16. Once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. So they on their way to prayer, apparently down at the river where the God-fearers, now it's probably primarily a Christian gathering, and so they gather there for prayer. But as they're going, they encounter this slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Now, this spirit by which she predicted the future is just two words in the original language. It's the Greek phrase is pneuma pythona, literally python spirit. And she's a fortune teller. Now, fortune telling is a big deal in a pagan area like that. People want to know what's going on. They want to consult the spirit world. And apparently she did that. But she is possessed by a demon, this python spirit. Now, the word pythona in Greek actually means divination or consulting the spirits. And it comes from the ancient story of Apollo, who killed this serpent or dragon in the region of Pytho, which guarded the oracle of Delphi. So it has to do with the oracle and the python, and was killed by Apollo. So anyway, it's called the python, or pythona, is divination. So this python spirit is what she had. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. And anybody who's anybody wants to know their fortune. So apparently she does a good job of it, enough that people are willing to pay for it. Verse 17, as she followed Paul and us, she cried out, "These men who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation are servants of the Most High God." Well, what she's saying here is accurate. And apparently this is spiritually discerned. She does see the truth here that these men are servants of the Most High God, and they are proclaiming a way of salvation. Now, this seems kind of like free publicity, free advertising. But the problem is, we would understand this very differently than the people in Philippi understood this 2,000 years ago. It's a pagan polytheistic culture where you have Greek gods everywhere for everything. And so the term Most High God really doesn't mean much. That can mean a lot of things. Most notably probably could be Zeus, who is the chief god, but there could be all kinds of the local deities referred to as Most High God. And the whole idea of the way of salvation didn't really mean that much either, because most of the gods were viewed as saviors of one form or another, Even the emperor proclaimed himself as the savior of all people. So this servant girl go around saying their servant's the Most High God. They're proclaiming a way of salvation. It was just confusing things because it just, what they're proclaiming is just another run-of-the-mill God. But they're really proclaiming the only one true God. So verse 18, she did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the Spirit, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out right away. That's why Paul is annoyed, because she's just confusing things. Here she's making it out to be that this is just another one of many possible local deities to worry about. They're just the God of the Month Club, so to speak, where the gospel is the one true God, the Creator. And so Paul got annoyed and cast the demon out of her. When her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them in the marketplace to the authorities. So they are upset, not that this girl was healed from demon possession, but that they lost their profit. Now, Luke makes a little bit of a play on words here. He says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out right away. And that's the same word there, the exelthion, come out. I command you to come out, exelthion. And it came out, exelthion. But then their hope of profit, in English to say, it was gone, but it's the same word, exelthion. Really, their hope of profit came out. So the Spirit came out, and so did their hope of profit. So just a little wordplay that Luke uses there. So they're so upset that they drag Paul and Silas before the authorities. Now, notice they just grab Paul and Silas. They don't seem to grab Timothy and Luke, because Paul and Silas, they're the prophets, they're the evangelists, they're the ones proclaiming the gospel. So verse 20, bringing them before the chief magistrates. Now just pause right there, bringing them. Notice it's them, Paul and Silas, yes, they're the ones being brought, but we don't see we anymore for a while. We saw this shift at Troas, where it shifted from third person to first person, where we, obviously Luke's including himself, here we don't see we anymore until chapter 20, which they're back in Philippi. It's like 7 or 8 years later, because they'll complete this journey and then go on another journey and then come back through Philippi after that. So it's actually a few years down the road where we get we again in chapter 20. Now, some theories about that, and then they're just theories. Some say, well, apparently Luke stayed behind in Philippi. When they leave Philippi, Luke stays in Philippi. Could be. Or could be just, that's just the way Luke writes it. So it's really hard to say, I think, if we want to make something of the fact that we starts at Troas, and that's when Luke joined them, then we really have to say, after Philippi, that's where Luke has separated them from them, at least for a while. So verse 20, bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, these men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice. So there's three issues they bring up here. One, they are Jews. And that shows a bit of, prejudice that, hey, don't trust these guys, they're Jews. And we already know there's not a lot of Jews there. There's not a synagogue. It only takes 10 Jewish men to form a synagogue. So Jews are not common. So don't trust these guys, they're Jews. And they are disturbing our city and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice. What customs? It's not illegal to become a Christian. And it's not even illegal to evangelize. But apparently the whole idea of evangelization is frowned on. So I'm not sure exactly what they're being charged with more than just disturbing the peace. And maybe that's enough. The fact that they're Jews, they're from out of town, and they're upsetting people is enough to punish them. So verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack on them. The chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. Stocks are those big wooden clamps that they clamp over the bottoms of your legs and your feet stick out to hold you securely. So he was ordered to guard them carefully, and so he secures them in the stocks. Now, stocks have multiple sets of holes, so you can actually stretch people's legs further apart in order to torture them. There's no indication that's what's going on here, other than they've just been locked in the stocks to hold them securely. Paul and Silas have been proclaiming the word of God. They're having a spiritual issue here with a demonic attack of this slave girl who, it seems, is just telling the truth. But understand, what this slave girl is doing is just confusing people about the reality of what's going on. And so now they've responded with a superior spiritual counterattack and are in prison. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the book of Acts.